This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
That fucking pumped me up. That got me amped. I'm ready to start the fucking podcast. That's what I needed.
That was the, I played the closing one by accident. Oh. The opening one was this kind of acoustic thing that I whipped up
late last night.
Just joking. That was Brent Miller from San Marcos, Texas.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a remix of the OG.
That's right. It's a punk cover of the most genius theme song that's ever been played in the first 5 minutes of the first episode of an advice podcast on the internet hosted by Amir and Jake. If you can shout out my band, Kairos, and the Insta is at K-A-I-R-O-S 78666. And then he says, I'm the one with dreads. And my girlfriend is a fellow fan, Ciara.
Very
so
cool.
I think the band is just him with dreads and his girlfriend, Ciara.
That sounds like a cool band that I want to go check out next time I'm in Texas.
I'm hearing good things about San Marcos. It's like kind of like the new Austin.
Really?
Yeah, it's like 20 miles south of Austin. So like for all the people who are like, Austin's getting too commercial, this is like the Bushwick to Austin's Williamsburg.
That's cool.
That's San Marcos. Anyway, that's where we're building up our next HQ. As of now, we're still in Brooklyn.
HGTX. That's next. I also want to do HGUK, you know?
Because a lot of people are bi-coastal, but I'd like to be tri-coastal.
What's the coast in Texas? I guess the Gulf?
Yeah, the Gulf of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we do...
We have to... Head Gulf.
Yeah, the Head Gulf. And then if we do UK, we can be quad-coastal.
That's cool.
Which I think is the only quad-coastal podcast network.
I think if we did tri-coastal, we might be the only ones.
Yeah.
I bet like fucking Wondery has a Chicago office.
Yeah, but that's not a coast.
Fox. Okay. Well, it's the coast of Lake Michigan is all.
Is that a coast?
It's a coast. It's by the water. Isn't it?
Yeah, or is a coast have to be an ocean?
This is great fodder.
We can just keep guessing or I can look it up.
I'll guess that it is a coast.
Coast. Oh, it can be any body of water, not just the ocean.
I don't know any body of water, but I'll say that big lakes can be coastal.
Okay, coast definition. I'll say it, ocean only.
Yeah, I like basically agree with you, but I'm just
you want to switch it up. You should have stuck with your guns because it's the part of a land near the sea, so it doesn't have to be the ocean.
Well, sea. Oh, I guess sea though.
Yeah.
So the lake.
The real question is if a lake counts.
Can't do it, but sea.
Mediterranean.
All right. See, what is
the difference between a sea and an ocean and a lake? Is it just size?
Is a sea? A sea can. Oh, it's salt water, right? It's fresh water and salt water.
No. That's the only difference?
I don't know.
I would think it's size. Let's see. Sea versus ocean.
Oh, yeah. Maybe size.
versus Lake. Yeah, it autofilled. They know what people are looking up.
No one listening to this podcast is interested, but I am.
Oh, you're sort of right. A lake water can be salty or fresh. The difference between a lake and a sea is that a sea is open to the ocean and at sea level. Lakes don't have a direct outlet to the sea, and so can be above or below sea level. The Dead Sea is below it. But is the Dead Sea attached to an ocean? That seems like a lake.
That is the only reason why I didn't say it's attached to an ocean. I didn't think it was. But
unless they're like,
is.
Yeah, because there's a lake that flowed through it and went to the ocean or whatever.
Maybe at some point.
That's cheating. The Dead Sea is cheating.
Sorry, scholars.
This is the Dead Lake.
I won't have it anymore.
Trust me, I've been studying this for 95 seconds.
It's Blumenfeld's time to weigh in.
This is a lake. This is a lake.
You're a river now.
All right, this is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the web, hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I'm Jake, and I think this is now a podcast.
Really?
Yeah, we're talking lakes, ponds, rivers, and streams. Any body of water will do. You send in your queries, and we'll name it an ocean, a lake, a pond, a river, a stream, a puddle.
A bayou.
Or a bayou. Can't be a swamp, but it can't be an alpine lake.
All right, we got some questions not about water, if you can believe it. I don't know why.
Yeah, well, we only announced that there were a podcast today, so I bet the questions will start rolling in.
Here's one that's pretty crazy with regards to you.
Oh.
We'll call this guy, what's your dad's name?
Sam.
Sam writes, I'm a 36-year-old clinical psychologist and married father of two boys, 4 and 8, in South Louisiana. Recently, my wife and I decided to have a third child. In an unexpected turn of events, we are now expecting triplet girls.
Heyo.
No fertility treatment, just a crazy expensive gift from God.
Yeah, I know gotcha from God.
I know Jay comes from a family with triplets, and his mom seems to be such a wonderful soul. What advice would you all give a father expecting triplets? I'm worried about being able to cultivate close, individualized relationships with each kid. What was it like in your family of triplets? Any pearls of wisdom would be greatly appreciated. P.S. My 4-year-old is named Micah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So he's got two kids and then triplets, which is exactly what your parents did. And one of the kids is named Micah.
Older brother, younger brother named Micah, and then triplet girls.
Yeah.
So we're really close to being parallel here. It's also funny because my parents had me and my sister and then tried to have a third kid and had triplets.
Yeah.
And then Micah was a little mistake even after that. So you never know. You never know. Unless you tie your tubes, you might have another.
This guy has to wait 6 years and have a sixth child to pull off the full Hurwitz.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Which has got to be the most rare occasion in the history of baby making.
Yeah, that there after the triplets, after you have five, there's like a...
There's one more bonus.
Why not?
Let's add one more. The difference between 5 and 6 can't be that much. I guess you can't speak to raising these triplets, but maybe you do have some insight as to, like, how did you guys individualize them? At what point do you know that they have different personalities?
Power dynamics. Yeah. I honestly don't think we did, like, what I remember is the triplets were often, like, dressed in the same clothes, had the same haircut. It was like
the opposite.
They tried
to treat them as one child who is split.
And for a long time, we still do, like, we'll be like, where's Hannah, Micah, and the triplets?
I wonder if that affects them.
They, like, sometimes, I think it's just like anything. Like, they would get annoyed growing up, but now they, like, really cherish their close relationship. There's
the
not,
triplet
like,
ties.
They don't, I'm very close with my brother, and like, but no one will have the bond that the triplets have. They're like, they feel things that happen across like state lines
without telling. Like, whoa, did something just happen?
And yeah, like they'll call, be like, "Are you okay?" It's like, "Oh no, I had a really bad day" or something. Like,
they'll, wow,
I mean, that's at least what they say.
Telekinetic.
And I feel like, yeah, and if they believe that, they at least like feel closer.
Wow. Yeah, you'll never be like, I have a headache, Micah, is everything fine?
Yeah.
So yeah, how can he just the fact that he's asking this kind of stuff means he's going to be a good dad, I think.
Yeah.
Cultivate close, individualized relationships.
I mean, I think that the triplets, for as much as we like push them around in a three-person stroller, like they have like very distinct individual personalities. And I would imagine as like, I guess I do it as a brother, and well, I do it as a brother now, and my parents could probably do it too. Like, Liza likes gymnastics, so it's not like, okay, all the triplets will do gymnastics.
Yeah.
And like Sarah, hobbies. Sarah was a great runner, and well, she still is. But so you, so they would support her, her hobbies, her passions. Rachel loves music, so they bought her a piano. Like, yeah. there were ways that they individualized themselves, but they also stayed close. And my mom gave them the same haircut all the time, so that was nice.
Also, if you're a clinical, if you're a clinical psychologist, maybe you can conduct little experiments on these little twerps. So like nature versus nurture debates can be settled once and for all.
I don't like
if you homeschool child one, which you'll call one,
and you homebrew the other,
and the other two are sent to a public and a private school. You can sort of chart their educational development over
little Lucy
time.
Is kept under the stairs and fed sardines through a little slot.
Well, I would call them 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, okay.
So as to not give them a personality or name, a life of their own almost.
Well, so you would send a young girl to private school with no name?
You know, the name is 2.
I see.
Yeah, almost make her feel as though she is a experiment.
Right, which is interesting because she is getting the best end of, like, she's going to the ritziest school.
Yeah.
She's being treated like a little princess.
For sure.
And then there's one that's kept under lock and key at home.
Yeah, and she'll be homeschooled. By me.
At home drooled.
The problem for me is learning this shit again. Like, when a second grader is learning history and you don't know that, mm-hmm. you have to teach yourself late
right,
at night.
So yeah, you're going to homeschool somebody, but you don't know any. Like, you had to just Google what a sea was versus
yeah,
a lake.
But it would be a lot
you
like
you didn't know
that.
What a sea or a lake was.
But the child at home, or one, wouldn't know about the internet until she was 20.
20.
Yeah, so
you're
I sort
sadistic.
Of. Yeah, I keep her sheltered in a way so that she thinks I'm thinking, but I'm actually Googling. But she doesn't know what Googling is because she's never been exposed to a smartphone.
Yeah, so you seem like a godlike character.
Yeah, I'll say.
I mean, you're more of a Satan because you're keeping her. And I keep on.
I'll have to hold my answer key, and that's this orb, my iPhone, but she doesn't know about that. And
right,
I sort of squeeze it.
You can tell her anything. You're calling it an orb.
Yeah,
it's just a phone.
A knowledge orb. And I'll hold it to my forehead, but sort of cheat it out so I can read it. One second. A C is a mass. Sorry, our internet, or not internet. Fuck. One, close the door.
She would still think you were dead or dumb. She would still think you were dumb.
And she'd be right.
Is he asking how they have relationships with him, or how they have good relationships with everyone in the family? Because I mean,
I think he means individualized relationships with each kid,
right?
Like not treating them like one lump sum.
Yeah,
but it's hard not to just give them all the same clothes, the same haircuts, like you did or your parents did.
Yeah, I really think that a lot of the stuff that a lot of the stuff like that was just seen as was like. They didn't have any time. There were 6 kids. So, like, I ate a lot of frozen microwave food, but it wasn't like I was being mistreated. There was just no time.
I liked kid cuisine.
I did love my little frozen drumsticks. They were good.
And I want to eat them now again. I want to eat a brownie that you have to microwave next to corn, next to Salisbury steak.
The one thing that we always got in trouble for was if we weren't being nice to my sisters and my brother. That was always a requirement. Spend time with them and be nice to them.
Yeah, you hear a lot about like sibling rivalries. Like, oh, I hated my brother growing up, or I hated my sister.
Yeah, and like sometimes my brother annoyed me a lot, but like I wouldn't get in trouble if I got bad grades. Maybe I should have, but I wouldn't get in trouble if I like lit off fireworks in the backyard. But I would get in trouble if I like wouldn't let my brother hang out with me. That's what I got in trouble for, and I think it was. I think it's nice. Now we're all very close, which is healthy and nice.
Yeah, I wonder if that's because of the rules that were stated as a child.
Or in spite of them.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
All right, here's a question about a Starbucks airdrop. We'll call this guy Howard Schultz. Howard writes, "Hey, you tits, this one's short and sweet. I'm in college and I'm currently doing homework at a Starbucks and I got an airdrop that simply said, my number is blank." The actual number.
Right.
My airdrop doesn't have a picture on it, and I hadn't talked to anyone at the Starbucks, so there's no way anyone knowing my name in order to choose my correct airdrop. Similarly, there's no way to know who sent it. So should I respond? It seems a little weird, but I'm a curious person, so I'm thinking about doing it. Have you guys ever gotten random airdrops? Also, what should I say? Thanks a bunch. Howard Schultz.
Has that ever happened to you?
No.
A random airdrop?
No.
I think I've gotten one, but it seemed to be, it was not like a flirtation. It was very much a mistake.
Oh, I see. Airdrop seems so hard and fickle for me to actually manage. I can't imagine getting one on by accident. Like, yeah. It's hard for me to find my computer or your phone to actually do airdrops.
I think we just haven't been single in a long time. Like, I could imagine getting into some kind of airdroppy flirtation, for
like
sure.
Like sending one, you mean?
Yeah. Well, no. I don't think I would. I don't think I have the courage or the gumption or the huevos
to pull that off.
I think it would. It's almost like a little bit creepy. It's like a little bit of an invasion.
Yeah, I'm wondering what yours says, because right now I'm pulling mine up, but I don't see anybody else in the area. Like, you have to like have the airdrop open, right? I can't airdrop you unless your phone is on.
Yeah, but like if you're in line at Starbucks and everyone's looking at their phone while they're waiting.
Oh, yeah, I see yours. And it says Jake Horowitz and your picture, but maybe because your picture's in my phone.
Yeah, that's why.
So this person, is there a world where this person knew who was receiving the airdrop, or did she just fucking blast it out? Or is it even a guy thinking he sent it to a lady?
That's my guess, is that it's a thirsty-ass dude who saw a cute girl. And he just sent his number to everyone because he's like, I don't care. I all these other dudes will get it, but so will she, and maybe it'll work.
Yeah. Or sending it to another guy. I'd hate to use heteronormative standards.
Right. I just think that the quintessential douchey guy will be a dude trying to get pussy.
Got it.
For sure. But anyway, I do think that it's within your rights to respond. Like,
yeah,
you're responding.
At the very least, out of fun, hey, LOL, who did you think you were sending this to? Just like get some more information from this person.
Whoever sent it took a much bigger swing. Like, you say, should I respond? Is like, you have nothing to lose.
Is it a picture that says my number is this? It has to be like a note or a picture, right?
It's not like a text.
You can't text someone over AirDrop.
Right. So, maybe it's a note.
I wonder if that happens a lot on the subway here.
Yeah, I think it is. I think I've heard that before.
Like an airdrop subway romance.
Yeah.
It's almost
like
a game.
I also think it's like people pranking too. Like, you can send anything, any photo to anyone. You could send it to like everyone who's on their phone on the subway.
Oh, right. You can send a dick pic to everybody in a car.
Yeah, if you wanted to.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, they'd have to accept it. I wonder if it blurs it until you accept.
Yeah.
I think it does.
And what percentage of people accept it?
I bet a decent amount, because you're kind of
curious.
But
I'm kind of turned on just thinking about sending it.
You're nasty.
I'm a voyeur.
Oh, sorry, I said that in like a sweet way. You're nasty.
Got it.
You're nasty.
Yeah, like in a bad nasty.
No,
yeah.
You're nasty. Like, you're nasty. Yeah,
so
you're
should nasty. Respond is what you were saying.
I think you might as well. You have nothing to lose.
And what would you respond if you got this?
What does it say?
My number is, and then the number.
Cool. I would say, hey, got your airdrop, .. Who is this, ?
What about got your number from a friend, ? Airdrop.
Nice.
Nice. Who is this, LOL? Are you hot to me? I don't want to go on a date with a 4. In fact, lose my number.
I'll be at Starbucks tomorrow getting a pumpkin spice late.
I'm kind of a basic B around the holidays. What's your face?
Airdrop your face to me now.
She blocked me. Huh. Weird.
That makes sense.
Follow up pup. Let us know what happened. Text this person and give us an update.
Might as well.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. And answer some more questions after these messages.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional-looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. They have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag-and-drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional-looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace.
Yes.
That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader.
It's like,
interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's it's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's a non-movement movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems like it should be.
I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Anti-movement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't. But so it's fitness, more of a fitnessnah.com. Yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for, and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
need. That's amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I was high.
Bark box. Yeah, bark box. Yeah,
it came with the condos, dozens of them a month. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn, and I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most of it yours. Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rocket Money.
And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a little sooner than I can. Mom, I'm coming.
Gross.
Woohoo. You know what? I've got some advice.
Yeah.
I have recently purchased a pair of office Crocs.
Or Crocus Offs, as I call them.
Yes, and that is a very catchy little nickname.
How are your Crocus Offs?
I've lost my Crocus Offs. I'm in love with them.
Meaning?
I think they're wonderful. I think that for anybody that has a standing desk, office Crocs are simply a must.
Because why can't you just wear your regular shoes?
I think that living in New York City, I am at the height of fashion, the pinnacle of streetwear. And I will sometimes wear shoes that are sexy for my commute, but not nice to stand in all day.
A fashion over function type decision.
Yes, but
the
also,
high heels of normal wear.
And even beyond that, when I'm at my standing desk, I have this thing, I forget what it's called, but it's some kind of like, it's a squishy mat that is apparently designed to resemble the forest floor.
Okay.
So it's like it's really soft and squishy, but then there's like a couple spots where there's like knots. It's almost like you're standing on a mossy ground, but you like can feel some
twigs and berries underneath.
Yeah, some tree roots. Yeah. And it's like you can step around different parts on this mat and just like massage your feet. So it's wonderful to be on that barefoot. But then you got to get a soda from the fridge. You got to go to the bathroom. Somebody calls you over to their desk. And you don't want to just walk across the floor in your socks because you have the crippling pain in your sesamoid.
Do you realize like how many like additional things we're adding to like life? Like it used to be you go to work and sit down. And it's like, okay, sitting's not good anymore. So we got to have the standing desk. If you're at a standing desk, got to have the mossy floor. If you're on the mossy floor, you don't want to just stand with shoes. You got to get the office Crocs for the mossy floor for the standing desk.
Yeah.
Can you just get rid of it all and have a sitting desk?
I guess you could, and that'd be fine. But I think no matter if you have a standing, this is all just my journey to getting the Crocs. Because you don't want to like, if you take your shoes off at your desk and you have to go somewhere, you don't want to put your shoes back on.
Right.
You want to be able to just slide into something, walk to the kitchen, walk back. So even if I had a sitting desk, I think I like the idea now of taking my shoes off at work and putting on office Crocs.
Yeah. So regardless of the sitting or standing situation, it's almost like slippers at home.
Yeah. And I mean, they are pretty atrocious looking.
Yeah.
But they are little fleshlights for your feet. They are so pleasant to be inside.
Do they make the moccasin version of Crocs like... You know, the kind of like the Uggs. Yeah, a crocosin of sorts. They it's do got have, like fleece.
Yeah, they have fleece-lined Crocs.
Yeah.
I mean, and Crocs aren't the only... There's other great slippers. But I highly recommend it. Maybe it's not for everybody if you work like on Wall Street or in the State Department or something. Yeah. If you work somewhere where you're supposed to be pretty buttoned up. But if you have a casual workplace environment, can't recommend office Crocs.
Yeah. It's funny to imagine like an episode of Homeland where... Brody is wearing Crocs because he's at a standing desk with the mossy floor.
I have a meeting with the vice president.
Hold on a second. Where are my Crocus ops?
Where are they? I'm a Croc lover.
Is Brody a good actor? He's in Billions too, right?
Yeah, I think he's a good actor. I don't think that he ever had a very interesting... Like,
he's never had to show range. Yeah. He's always just been a serious man.
Right. And I was always floored that he was so acclaimed in Homeland. Just like, okay, what you have to do is just keep it all inside.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine.
I can do that like, by accident.
He's just kind of quiet and suspicious.
The most he's like, happy is like a wry smile when he's trying to hide something.
Yeah.
He's never laughing or like... Getting a beer with friends, or cracking like, up,
or being intense. He's not really ever yelling.
Yeah,
it's strange. And then in Billions, he's just always he's kind of like a savant businessman who only cares about money and power.
Is he a charming laughing guy in that ever?
I guess he's sometimes a charming laughing guy, but he's not like I don't think he's like super good. He's kind of just fun to watch.
Yeah.
Cuz he's like super rich and he talks in a really gravelly voice. I guess he's better in Billions actually than
he is British though.
Yeah.
So like whenever a British person is playing American, just by default he's a good actor.
Right. I think I would say
can't tell.
I would say that he's good in Billions, but the character is so like the writing of that character is so one note and
right.
flat. It's just like I'm Axe. All I care about is money and getting Chuck Rhodes.
Got it. Which is kind of what you can say about his character in Homeland.
Well, in Homeland, he at least had like internal conflict. He had like kind of been turned by
Al Qaeda,
and he also like was in love with Claire Danes.
Yeah.
So there's a little something there.
Got it.
But I didn't like TV sucks in general.
The only
good show out there is Succession. Everything else is bad.
There's an A and a C of Fs.
I wonder if Succession would have ruined like even Breaking Bad for me.
Mm. Like if Succession was on during Breaking Bad, would you like Breaking Bad's not that good because it's not as good as Succession?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't know. Breaking Bad was very visually interesting at the very least.
Like some of the greatest shows of all time would be Breaking Bad, Mad Men.
Sopranos people love a lot though. I haven't seen it.
I still have not seen. I would equate it actually with something like The Wire because I love The Wire and Jill's been rewatching The Wire like every once in a while. And I don't love watching it.
It's just dense.
It's, well, I don't mind dense. It's the production value seems so low.
Oh, right. It's like, before HD, before widescreen.
Yeah, it's just like, it's really not fun to watch. And I think that that is sometimes how I feel with Sopranos. Like, I really want TV to look amazing and it doesn't.
Right.
But maybe, I guess Sopranos is up there, but The Wire.
Yeah.
What do you think Succession?
Succession is my favorite, but I wouldn't get mad if somebody had it second or third behind those other shows. Right. Those are all like A+ shows to me.
Yeah, and those shows almost feel like masterpieces. Succession's only 2 seasons, so far it's just been really, really fun.
Yeah.
None of those shows are as funny as Succession either.
That's true. Succession is the funniest show of those.
And it's also really dramatic and good.
Yeah, it's almost like, what's your preference of style of genre? Like, some people like Mad Men because it's like, oh, I'm nostalgic about that era, or I like the idea of like businessmen in the 50s.
Yeah, it's like sexy to watch that show.
Yeah.
But there's not, I don't think I've ever like, there things on Mad Men like made me smile and feel good, but I was never like, oh my God.
That's hysterical.
Draper just said the funniest joke.
Sterling was pretty funny.
Sterling was pretty funny, but even he was just like playing a wacky character. It was not like...
Pete Campbell never made me LOL.
Except for when he was eating cereal, watching TV, and cracking up.
All right, that show is great. No, you're thinking of Big Daddy, actually. Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Stemming from now, I think this is a 3 or 4 episode long unsolicited advice. The flu shot, which I recommended to you like 4 weeks ago, which you then said you didn't want to get.
Yeah.
Which Thomas joked about creating a super flu.
Uh-huh.
We keep getting emails, so I have to stop spreading misinformation, okay?
No one said that we're telling it like it is.
Yeah.
As if I were you. We're allowed to be dumbasses.
So Frida writes, stop spreading misinformation. I get that you guys are kind of joking, but you have a giant platform and you're spreading lies when vaccines are already under attack and mistrusted. I really expected you to do better. So how about this? I'll fucking read your email. That's the best we can possibly do.
You're
getting your message out there, Frida. The main problem with someone like Jake...
I didn't do anything.
Exactly. That's the problem. Getting the flu not getting the flu vaccine is that even if he is healthy enough to fight off the disease successfully, while his immune system is fighting it off, he can still incubate and spread the virus. By not getting the vaccine, he is putting other people with weaker immune systems, i.e. children and the elderly, at risk. This is especially a concern because he lives in a place like New York where lots of strangers are crowded together in confined spaces. So basically, you can have the flu and give it to other people, or you can get the flu shot, which would prevent you. And if enough people got the flu shot... getting the vaccine means you contribute to, quote, herd immunity, keeping others safe, even if you personally don't believe you need the extra protection. So there, that's the end of the debate. And I won't even accept a rebuttal.
I would love to go through the emails and see if anyone else wrote in agreeing with me.
Like if any anti-vaxxers out there think it causes autism.
Me and Jenny McCarthy.
So, lastly, and I've said this from day one, get a flu vaccine. But are you willing to go on record and saying you'll get one now?
I'm willing to go on record and admit that it's probably good. Okay?
Probably.
Everyone should get it. Fuck it. What do I care? Everyone should get it.
Thanks, man. That means a lot. All right. We're going to CVS right now.
I didn't say I'd get it.
I don't care about the herd. As long as enough people get it, I'll be fine.
I don't hang out with elderly folks.
It's just everyone but me needs to get it. All right. Let's try to answer another question.
Mm-hmm.
This is funny relationship advice from a sweet lady in St. Louis.
Ooh, St. Louis.
We'll call her Marge, a sweet lady name. I'm a 24-year-old living in St. Louis and have been dating my current boyfriend for the last 5 years, and we've been friends for 10. He is Latvian, like Kristaps Porzingis, and moved here for college, but got a job afterwards in St. Louis. We've lived together for 2 years of dating, but he works an hour away, so last year we started living separately. To me, our relationship is great. We make jokes and get along. We're very independent of each other. We love living together. But after dating for 5 years, he still says, I don't know, when I ask him if he can commit. I have been giving him months to think about it because if we decide we want to be together, our future would be a lot easier. I could get him a green card. Then we wouldn't be stuck living in St. Louis where he has a work visa. Should I just end it? I don't want to be sitting around waiting for him to maybe want to be with me, or should I stick it out because he's awesome? Also, he listens to your show, so he'll hear your advice. If you tell me to break up with him, it'll be a lot easier because I won't have to tell him myself.
Whoa.
LOL. My God.
Wait, so it's 5 years.
10 years of friendship, 5 years of dating, and then when she says, do you want to commit to me? He says, I don't know.
What does committing mean?
I think that's the problem. Maybe he thinks that means marriage, and he's like, whoa, I don't want to commit forever. And she's like, I just want to be exclusive together for the next foreseeable future.
Yeah, part of me feels like I need to know, I need a little bit of clarification on what commitment means. But I'll also say that 5 years is like, you have to make up your mind.
At that point, you should know everything you need to know.
Right. I understand there's ambiguity in this email, but there should be no ambiguity in your relationship after 5 years.
But what about the ages of 19 to 24? You're still sort of changing and evolving. So like every 5 years is not the same.
Wait, she's 24 right now?
Yeah, she's 24 now. So they started at age 19.
I see. I understand a little bit better now than I think. I mean, I definitely still think there should be no ambiguity. So if you're saying like, I need you to commit to me and whatever that means, and he's saying no, then
there's a lot of pressure knowing he's listening. You're breaking up with someone.
Well, it's hard because I don't know what committing means.
Yeah, and maybe like they don't know. Maybe they're not on the same level about what that means.
If she's
either.
Like, I want to be exclusive, and they haven't been exclusive for 5 years, and he's like, I'm not sure, then fuck that. You know, then she should break up with him.
Yeah.
And
it seems like they've already, quote, committed in that they're dating for 5 years and live together for part of it.
If it's about marriage, then I think not wanting to get married when you're 24 is completely valid.
Right.
And if it's about, I think it, basically if it's about anything shorter than just being exclusive, I think him being reticent is valid.
Okay. How about we don't break them up yet? All right. We don't break them up yet, but they should have a conversation about what this commitment means to them.
Yeah.
Whether it means a lifetime guarantee starting now, which is like the most extreme version, like let's get married today. Or is it like, I can commit to the next year, 2 years, 5 years.
Right.
Remember you said once that like marriage should be like a term where it's like, I'm committing for 4 years. Like it's crazy to commit. I've known you for 4 years and I have to commit for 80.
Yeah.
That seems like you wouldn't do that in professional basketball.
Was this before I was married?
Yeah, but probably.
I'd imagine so. Because now lifetime seems pretty damn good.
If anything, it's too short. I want to be with her for eternity.
Babe.
Help.
I think that the commitment, what you need to do is commit to having a convo. Okay.
Nice.
Commit to the convo.
Convo commitment.
I think the relationship has to work for both of you guys. It sounds like it's good for the dude because he's hanging with you and he doesn't have to quote unquote commit to whatever you're asking him to commit to. But if he continues to do that and you've been with him for 5 years and you're not getting the thing that you want, which is some certain type of commitment that is a little ambiguous from your email, but if you don't have to stay in a relationship like that that's making you unhappy.
Yeah. And then she says, P.S. I'm good at remembering everyone's birthdays like you, Amir. So
that's cool. So maybe you could be with her.
I mean, should I? Like, we already
have
that.
She's young. She's 24 and you're like 48 or
something. I'm not 48. I'm 47. Going on 50.
I guess. Yeah,
and I'm nifty. And I actually smoke cigars now.
And I have triplets, 1, 2, and 3.
In fact, I want to have triplets with you. Everything else won't do. A twins would have to be discarded. It's not even close to being enough. I need to have 3 for me.
3X on the day.
All right. We don't have time to answer one more question, but maybe time to give a little bit more of unsolicited advice. I know you had one about overnight oats that you wanted
to give. You're stealing my shit for next week, Blooms.
Well, I got a good one for next week, too.
Oh, okay. Well, all right, fine. I'll mention overnight oats as well.
Okay.
I have, for the last couple... I've been missing cereal for a while.
Yeah, cereal is really good.
And oatmeal is, I just find it, I don't have a microwave, so I find it a little annoying to make.
Yeah.
I have to put it into a pan and heat it up.
Yeah, boil milk and or water.
And then like scrape the pan. It's just not fun.
It's hard to clean. You got to clean it right away.
Yeah, you have to clean
that dried oatmeal, even for like 20 minutes, it's like that's part of the pan.
And I like to eat and go. I don't sit with breakfast, you know?
Got it.
So I've been doing this thing where I just pour cold milk into oats and eat it as cereal.
Okay.
Which is, what, as my wife told me, not really good for your digestive system.
Because it's undone oats.
Yeah.
It's dry oats plus milk.
It doesn't taste very good either.
Of course.
I'll like pour some fruit in there, little scoop of peanut butter. And it's fine, but it's not good.
Okay.
And then the other day I made that. I put my oats and my milk.
What kind of milk?
I do the almond milk in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was about to eat it, and Jill was like, "Oh, I made you breakfast," and she had made me like something way better. So I put it in the fridge.
You're acting like you invented overnight.
I know. I backed into it. I've known about them, and I just like, and everyone tells me how easy they are, and like that I should do it, and I just never remember at nighttime to do that.
Yeah.
You know? But this time it was 24 hour oats, because it was morning to the next morning.
Yeah.
And I had them the next day.
Because the oats sort of take in the milk and become a mushy milk of sorts.
It was so fucking good, because I also don't love when oatmeal's hot. Like, I like it to
cold mush.
Yeah. I kind of like it to taste a little bit like cereal.
Yeah.
So I had these overnight oats with a banana and some peanut butter, and it was phenomenal.
And then like, I'm going to just keep doing this. But not by accident anymore.
Yeah, now I do it on purpose, and it's great. It's such a...
What kind of jar are you using?
I just pour it in a bowl, and then I eat it straight out of the bowl.
Interesting.
I put it in the bowl I'm going to eat it out of in the morning, and in the morning, I cut up a banana, scoop of peanut butter, eat it, done in 5 fucking minutes.
It's amazing. Why is that better than cereal, though?
I think that it's a little healthier.
I guess it depends on the cereal.
Yeah, I don't know what...
Like, it's healthier than Frosted Flakes.
Yeah, I think it's healthier than most cereal that I would eat or buy. Maybe it's not... I don't know what else is healthier than oatmeal.
Right, but it also tastes so good that you don't mind that it's a little bit unhealthy, as long as it's mostly
I don't
healthy.
Think it's unhealthy.
But I bet it's like not as healthy as like those giant wheat cereals where you just sort of break giant logs of salty wheat and then eat that with food.
I think it is, because I like those wheat cereals.
Really?
But maybe. If wheat cereal's healthy, then I would probably start eating that, actually.
Forget everything I said about overnight oats. I didn't know wheat cereal was on the table.
Not healthy.
Right.
But I do like overnight oats.
So, all right, maybe it is healthy. What do I know? I'm just a dumbass with 3 kids.
Living on the Gulf.
All right, that's it. That's our episode. Thanks so much for listening. If you have your own questions or theme songs, send them on down to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. The opening one was written by Brent. Remember that amazing, what would you call it? Punk something or other?
Pop punk cover of the greatest song of all time, I think he mentioned.
Punk cover, indeed. And this closing one is written by, I believe his name is Connor.
Con.
Yeah. I made a theme song. It turned out very good. Really good stuff here. Love the show. Thank you. No, really. Thank you. Please plug my website. I look like DanielRadcliffe.com, which is funny because sometimes people tell me I look like DanielRadcliffe.com. I should have fucking squatted this domain when I had the chance. All right. Thanks, Connor. Thanks, Brent. Thanks to you guys for listening. We'll be back next week. Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Bye, everybody.
You have to do some fucking weird thing so this guy can come.
I heard you got some news, got the blues, got a qualm. You better listen in to the words of this song. I got these two friends, they can't do no wrong. It's Jake and Amir in New York like King Kong. Jake's got a baby and her name is Rhiannon. Became a dad without trying or planning. Being a dad is a little bit neat, oh, clean and cool, like a little bit of sleep, though. Getting advice from a dad in a rodent, coming like an aardvark, so cold and potent. It's all up on my sheets, cold as ice. Better give my mom some unsolicited advice. Chicken to me, chicken to me, chicken to me now. Chicken to me, chicken to me, chicken to me. Chicken to me, chicken to me, chicken to me now. Chicken to me, chicken to me, chicken to me. Chicken to me, chicken to me, chicken to me now. Chicken to me, chicken to me, chicken to me. Chicken to me, chicken to me, chicken to me now. If I were you, show@gmail.com. Heck yeah.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Leitman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.